What will happen over the next few months in 2024? What will be the global impact? What will be the economic impact? Just how close are we between peace and anarchy? Well, I'd like to offer a biblical perspective on some of the current events that are happening. For the Christian man or woman living in America, recent events may have left you feeling fearful and anxious. Do not fear, God is still in control, regardless of what happens. Now, let me begin by telling you that it does nothing for you to focus on the many theories out there about who is working in the shadows or what dark secret organization is attempting to govern the world behind the scenes. This will do nothing for your peace of mind. I think every Christian in America and around the world can sense that there's a spiritual battle taking place. This is something you can prayerfully discern when you look at the world through the lens of the Bible. But as you're listening right now, I want to direct your focus to what the Word of God says. It already tells us that in the last days, perilous times will come. The word perilous means full of danger and full of risk. There seems to be unrest all around the world, and with it being an election year in the U.S., folks all around the world are tuned in and anxiously waiting to see what will happen in November. Regardless of what happens, regardless of what state you live in or your beliefs, many people can't help but wonder about the outcome and what follows. What will the global impact be? The world seems to be a dangerous place right now, and understandably, many people will ask the question, what other wars might be on the horizon? Further questions that people will definitely have are, what will happen economically with concerns about inflation already? Will it get worse? Will there be an economic collapse? Is there any financial stability to hope for? So here's what you need to do. Don't focus on any conspiracy theories. Ignore those. There'll be people here, there, and everywhere sensationalizing every event, exaggerating every detail of anything that happens. But first and foremost, regardless of what's happening, regardless of what could happen, believers in Christ are commanded not to fear. Now, in case you didn't know, the devil is very influential on this earth. Whether you see it or not, whether you believe it or not, the devil can and has influence on the ideals, opinions, and standards in this world. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Think about that for a moment. The God of this age, the God of this world, Satan, has prevented unbelievers from seeing the light of the gospel. With all of the recent events happening, a lot of voices out there in the world, and even some Christian commentators, have come out saying things like we are seeing the beginning of the Gog and Magog battle. This is an apocalyptic battle that was prophesied in Ezekiel 38 and 39 in the Old Testament and also in Revelation 20, verse 7 to 9, which says, when the 1,000 years come to an end, Satan will be let out of his prison. He will go out to deceive the nations called Gog and Magog in every corner of the earth. He will gather them together for battle, a mighty army as numberless as the sand along the seashore. And I saw them as they went up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded God's people and the beloved city. But fire from heaven came down on the attacking armies and consumed them. The topic of Gog and Magog is a widely debated subject matter, and it's even divisive in some circles, with many different biblical scholars providing different interpretations as to the time frames and the details of who, what, where, and how. Now, there are other voices emerging that are saying because of what we're seeing today, because of all that is happening on the world stage, we are no longer in the 11th hour, but we are right at the door, and that the events described in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 to 17 are about to happen. As the Bible says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. Furthermore, there is also a third camp of people who are saying we are heading into the tribulation period, where Christian persecution will increase to new heights. The Antichrist will be unveiled, and God's wrath will be poured out on the earth. All of these potential scenarios are difficult to process for many believers. Are we really about to enter a battle that is of an apocalyptic magnitude? Are we literally moments away from the snatching away that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24:40-41, where the Bible says two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. All of these messages, all of these possibilities, and no one has a clear answer of what is happening but God in heaven. So what are we to do? Does life continue as normal? Do we stop going to work and begin to fast and pray every day, waiting for God's return? What are we to do? Well, over the last few days, we've received hundreds of emails with questions like, I am looking at everything happening in the world. How can I overcome my fear about the times we live in? Another question read, should Christians be concerned about the end times? And one more question was, should we be worried about what is happening and how close we are to end time Bible prophecy being fulfilled? These are just a few questions that we've received, but I imagine there are many Christians out there in the world who are concerned, uneasy, anxious maybe, or even tense when it comes to this present day and age. Before I begin, I want to take you back in time, all the way back to when Jesus Christ walked the earth. One day he sat on the Mount of Olives, and his 12 disciples came to him privately with a question that was bothering them. They asked him, "Tell us, when will all this happen? What sign will signal your return and the end of the world?" And in Matthew 24:4-8, then Jesus answered his disciples with words that will help all of us in this present day. He said, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." Look closely. The first sign that Jesus highlighted in verses 4 and 5 was, watch out for deception. There will come many liars, many con artists. Many will be wolves dressed in sheep's clothing. On the second sign of his coming, Jesus said, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. And isn't that where we are today? But as soon as he spoke of the conflicts that you will hear of, he said, see that you are not troubled. Before we get to the third sign of his coming, Jesus already told his disciples, don't be worried. Don't be troubled when you hear of unrest all over the world. Now take a moment and think. Does this not apply to you? You see, in this day and age, there's a lot of clarity when you look at Bible prophecy and current events, as we are certainly living in the last days. It is an obvious thing to see that there is widespread unrest and disputes between nations. You only need to look at current events, and you could see that there is an escalation when it comes to the number of conflicts and wars, and even rumors of war all around the world. But with talk of war all across media, with visual images that are upsetting circulating online, with political commentators talking about the threat of potential world war, what are we to make of all this? As Christians, how are we supposed to live with peace in our hearts, even though there is all of this commotion in the world? Well, let me give you this example. Fire is a useful natural element. Fire is necessary to warm up a room or a house. Fire can refine and purify things like metal and gold. But equally, fire can be destructive. Fire can be devastating. The same fire that can warm up a house is the same fire that can destroy a house. The same fire that can refine gold is the same fire that can be a threat to life. The point I want to make is that there is chaos all around us. There is fear all around. There is uncertainty out there. But chaos in the world should drive you to seek peace in Jesus Christ. Instead of worrying about the destruction happening in the world, focus on the Word of God and the promises of God. Are we living in the last days? Yes. Is there a growing sense of instability among nations? Yes. Are we seeing famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places as mentioned in Matthew 24:7? Yes, we are. But should we be worried? No, and here's why. Firstly, because of God's Word. Secondly, because of God's track record. Thirdly, because of the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. In these uncertain times, you should not be worried. because God's word has already told us the future. We know what's to come. We know how it all ends. We don't have to worry because God's word tells us in Luke 21:28, when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. We don't have to worry because Matthew 6:25-26 says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And what should give you peace as a child of God is that God's track record is perfect. He has always defended his children. He has always been faithful. He has always rescued those who trusted in him. In the book of Genesis, when the whole world was filled with evil and wickedness, God kept Noah and his family. He protected the one who trusted him. So when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, God kept Lot and his family. He protected them. In Exodus, when the death angel passed through the land of Egypt, God protected all those who trusted him and put blood on the top and sides of their door frames. And when the three Hebrew boys were cast into a fiery furnace, God was right there with them. So my point is that the God we serve, Jehovah, has an extensive track record of keeping us, protecting us, and preserving us. Therefore, we have nothing to fear. And finally, never forget the wonderful Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be bold in the face of chaos. He empowers us to be strong in the face of sin. Now the Bible in Romans 8:26 says, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. This verse acknowledges the Holy Spirit's role as our helper, especially when we face moments of weakness or uncertainty. Sometimes we might struggle to articulate our prayers or even discern what to pray for. The Holy Spirit comes alongside us in these moments, interceding on our behalf with deep groanings that surpass human language. I want to tell you two things. The first thing will be what the devil loves, and the second will be what the devil hates. The devil loves to make you fearful. The devil loves to introduce fear into the life of a believer. And let me tell you why. Fear is the opposite of faith. The Word of God calls us to live by faith and trust that God is in complete control. That's why we're told to not be anxious about anything. We're told not to worry, not to let our hearts be troubled over and over again. And this is because God wants us to live by faith and trust him in every moment for every need. But the devil, he wants the complete opposite for you and me. He doesn't want us to live by faith, so he introduces fear. And when you begin to live with the spirit of fear in your life, you begin to go against God's word, and you're filled with anxiety. You're worrying about what you will eat and drink, and of course, your heart is troubled. This is the damage that the spirit of fear brings. Look at what the Bible calls us to do. The Bible calls us to be courageous. Fear is the opposite of that. The Bible calls us to be bold. Fear is the opposite. The Bible calls us to trust God. Fear is the opposite because you doubt that God can be trusted with whatever you're worried about. This is why the devil loves to introduce fear into people's lives. However, let me tell you this. If there is one thing the devil can't stand, it's a man or woman who rejects the spirit of fear. A person who is not intimidated by what they see, but someone who is governed by the word of God. The devil is no match for a believer who dares to believe that nothing is impossible with God. The devil cannot win when he comes up against a believer who dares to believe the word of God. Some of our greatest blessings come to us when we dare to believe. Some of our biggest breakthroughs only happen once we dare to believe. There's no length that God is not willing to go to not only meet but exceed your expectations if you are willing to believe that he can do what he says he can do. The Amplified translation of Psalm 34:8 says, O taste and see that the Lord our God is good. How blessed, fortunate, prospered, and favored by God is the man who takes refuge in him. So your medical report may say one thing, but God's word says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. The facts may be that you do not have the training, the education, or the skills for that position, But God's word says in Psalm 90:17, "May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. When circumstances are against you, trust in God's promises for your life. When you're confronted by fear, that is the time you must say, "God, I believe you are bigger than what I see in front of me. You are bigger than the facts in this world. I don't see a way, but I know you can still make a way." Dear friend, be of the mind that says, "I don't need to have all the answers because I know the one who knows all of the answers. I don't need to know what the plan is because I know the planner, the God who orchestrates everything. I don't need to know the why if I know the one. I don't need to know the how because I know him." So hear me today, dare to believe in God and he will not let you down. Throughout your lifetime, you're going to come across challenges and moments that will test you. There will come a time when you are tested, and it's in that season whereby you have to decide to hold on to something. You either hold on to Jesus, or you hold on to friends and family members, peers and colleagues. You either hold on to Jesus, or you hold on to every word the doctor says or the expert opinion of man. I encourage you to choose the Lord. Hold on to Jesus Christ before you listen to the worldly wisdom of those who claim to know it all. It's only when you dare to go against the expectations of the world and stand with Jesus Christ that you can truly experience a life of victory. So in the midst of everything, in the midst of what you're struggling with, God is telling you to believe. Believe in him because in his word he has said that he has plans for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Fear has no effect on the believer who stands and says, "Whatever awaits me in the future, I'm facing it with Jesus. Whatever comes against me, I'll be protected by Jesus. Because if God is for me, who can stand against me? I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can get to the Father except through Jesus. I believe he is the bread of life. He is the one who can sustain us. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, and in him you will find peace beyond all human understanding. I believe Jesus Christ is the light of the world and the good shepherd. I believe he was a healer and a miracle worker when he walked here on this earth. And I also believe that he is still able to do the impossible even today. I believe he died on a cross for our sins, for my sins. And I believe that he rose back to life after 3 days and ascended on high. And right now he is seated on the right side of the Father. Listen to me, in the name of Jesus, there is power. Jesus Christ is the name above every other name. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the risen one, the almighty one. When we speak that name, the mighty name of Jesus Christ, every sickness has to bow, every disease has to leave, every chain has to loose. And so here is my word to you. As believers, we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should never compromise the word of God so that we can fit into this world. We should not be ashamed of the gospel because the devil and the world, they are aggressively spreading a message of deception. The devil and this world are aggressively trying to lead people away from the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it's time that we, as believers of Jesus Christ, it's time for us to stand up and to declare to the world that there is a Savior. There is someone who can set you free if you're bound. There is a Redeemer, and his name is Jesus Christ. Saints, we should not be ashamed of the gospel, but as Christians, we must stand up and fight for the gospel. We must rise up as sons and daughters of the Most High. Isaiah 41:13, "For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you." This is a promise for those seasons in life when you feel as though you can't get a break. It's a promise that God Almighty will help you. The Lord will come to your aid. He will be your support. He will be your pillar of strength. Isaiah 40:29 says, "He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength." This is a promise for us to hold on to in times of weakness. God will give strength to the weary. He will help you to stand when times get tough. He will help you to move forward when it looks like you are about to be overwhelmed. Matthew 6:25 tells us, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Jesus goes on to say in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus is telling us to let go of the illusion that we are the ones in control, because while we are not in control, God is sovereign. He's always in control. While we don't know the future, God is already in the future. While we can't let go of the past, God is already working out your present and your future. The devil is the father of fear, but God is the master of the future. The devil is the warlock of worry, but Jesus is the prince of peace. The devil is the architect of anxiety, but the Holy Spirit is the bringer of comfort. The Lord tells us in Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. As believers, our lives should not be dictated by fear, but rather by our faith. Our lives should not be crippled by worry, but rather empowered by the Word of God. We must always remember that we are children of the Most High God. We have received the promises of Christ that He will be with us always until the end of time. And so there is no one who can save us because Christ has already saved us. Stress and anxiety won't have the last word because Christ has already had the last word. Fear will not have the final say because Jesus Christ has defeated fear. What will happen over the next few months in 2024? What will be the global impact? What will be the economic impact? Just how close are we between peace and anarchy? Well, I'd like to offer a biblical perspective on some of the current events that are happening. For the Christian man or woman living in America, recent events may have left you feeling fearful and anxious. Do not fear. God is still in control, regardless of what happens. Now, let me begin by telling you that it does nothing for you to focus on the many theories out there about who is working in the shadows or what dark secret organization is attempting to govern the world behind the scenes. This will do nothing for your peace of mind. I think every Christian in America and around the world can sense that there's a spiritual battle taking place. This is something you can prayerfully discern when you look at the world through the lens of the Bible. But as you're listening right now, I want to direct your focus to what the Word of God says. It already tells us that in the last days, perilous times will come. The word perilous means full of danger and full of risk. There seems to be unrest all around the world, and with it being an election year in the U.S., folks all around the world are tuned in and anxiously waiting to see what will happen in November. Regardless of what happens, regardless of what state you live in or your beliefs, many people can't help but wonder about the outcome and what follows. What will the global impact be? The world seems to be a dangerous place right now, and understandably, many people will ask the question, what other wars might be on the horizon? Further questions that people will definitely have are, what will happen economically with concerns about inflation already? Will it get worse? Will there be an economic collapse? Is there any financial stability to hope for? So here's what you need to do. Don't focus on any conspiracy theories. Ignore those. There'll be people here, there, and everywhere sensationalizing every event, exaggerating every detail of anything that happens. But first and foremost, regardless of what's happening, regardless of what could happen, believers in Christ are commanded not to fear. Now, in case you didn't know, the devil is very influential on this earth. Whether you see it or not, whether you believe it or not, the devil can and has influence on the ideals, opinions, and standards in this world. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Think about that for a moment. The God of this age, the God of this world, Satan, has prevented unbelievers from seeing the light of the gospel. With all of the recent events happening, a lot of voices out there in the world, and even some Christian commentators, have come out saying things like we are seeing the beginning of the Gog and Magog battle. This is an apocalyptic battle that was prophesied in Ezekiel 38 and 39 in the Old Testament and also in Revelation 20, verse 7 to 9, which says, when the 1,000 years come to an end, Satan will be let out of his prison. He will go out to deceive the nations called Gog and Magog in every corner of the earth. He will gather them together for battle, a mighty army as numberless as the sand along the seashore. And I saw them as they went up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded God's people and the beloved city. But fire from heaven came down on the attacking armies and consumed them. The topic of Gog and Magog is a widely debated subject matter, and it's even divisive in some circles, with many different biblical scholars providing different interpretations as to the time frames and the details of who, what, where, and how. Now, there are other voices emerging that are saying because of what we're seeing today, because of all that is happening on the world stage, we are no longer in the 11th hour, but we are right at the door, and that the events described in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17 are about to happen. As the Bible says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever." Furthermore, there is also a third camp of people who are saying we are heading into the tribulation period, where Christian persecution will increase to new heights. The Antichrist will be unveiled, and God's wrath will be poured out on the earth. All of these potential scenarios are difficult to process for many believers. Are we really about to enter a battle that is of an apocalyptic magnitude? Are we literally moments away from the snatching away that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24, 40-41, where the Bible says two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. All of these messages, all of these possibilities, and no one has a clear answer of what is happening but God in heaven. So what are we to do? Does life continue as normal? Do we stop going to work and begin to fast and pray every day, waiting for God's return? What are we to do? Well, over the last few days, we've received hundreds of emails with questions like, "I am looking at everything happening in the world. How can I overcome my fear about the times we live in?" Another question read, "Should Christians be concerned about the end times?" And one more question was, "Should we be worried about what is happening and how close we are to end time Bible prophecy being fulfilled?" These are just a few questions that we've received, but I imagine there are many Christians out there in the world who are concerned, uneasy, anxious maybe, or even tense when it comes to this present day and age. Before I begin, I want to take you back in time, all the way back to when Jesus Christ walked the earth. One day he sat on the Mount of Olives, and his 12 disciples came to him privately with a question that was bothering them. They asked him, "Tell us, when will all this happen? What sign will signal your return and the end of the world?" And in Matthew 24:4-8, then Jesus answered his disciples with words that will help all of us in this present day. He said, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." Look closely. The first sign that Jesus highlighted in verses 4 and 5 was, "Watch out for deception. There will come many liars, many con artists. Many will be wolves dressed in sheep's clothing." On the second sign of his coming, Jesus said, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars." And isn't that where we are today? But as soon as he spoke of the conflicts that you will hear of, he said, "See that you are not troubled." Before we get to the third sign of his coming, Jesus already told his disciples, "Don't be worried. Don't be troubled when you hear of unrest all over the world." Now take a moment and think, does this not apply to you? You see, in this day and age, there's a lot of clarity when you look at Bible prophecy and current events, as we are certainly living in the last days. It is an obvious thing to see that there is widespread unrest and disputes between nations. You only need to look at current events, and you could see that there is an escalation when it comes to the number of conflicts and wars, and even rumors of war all around the world. But with talk of war, all across media, with visual images that are upsetting circulating online, with political commentators talking about the threat of potential world war. What are we to make of all this? As Christians, how are we supposed to live with peace in our hearts, even though there is all of this commotion in the world? Well, let me give you this example. Fire is a useful natural element. Fire is necessary to warm up a room or a house. Fire can refine and purify things like metal and gold. But equally, fire can be destructive. Fire can be devastating. The same fire that can warm up a house is the same fire that can destroy a house. The same fire that can refine gold is the same fire that can be a threat to life. The point I want to make is that there is chaos all around us. There is fear all around. There is uncertainty out there. But chaos in the world should drive you to seek peace in Jesus Christ. Instead of worrying about the destruction happening in the world, focus on the Word of God and the promises of God. Are we living in the last days? Yes. Is there a growing sense of instability among nations? Yes. Are we seeing famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places as mentioned in Matthew 24:7? Yes, we are. But should we be worried? No, and here's why. Firstly, because of God's word. Secondly, because of God's track record. Thirdly, because of the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. In these uncertain times, you should not be worried, because God's word has already told us the future. We know what's to come. We know how it all ends. We don't have to worry, because God's word tells us in Luke 21:28, when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. We don't have to worry, because Matthew 6:25-26 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" And what should give you peace as a child of God is that God's track record is perfect. He has always defended his children. He has always been faithful. He has always rescued those who trusted in him. In the book of Genesis, when the whole world was filled with evil and wickedness, God kept Noah and his family. He protected the one who trusted him. So when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, God kept Lot and his family. He protected them. In Exodus, when the death angel passed through the land of Egypt, God protected all those who trusted him and put blood on the top and sides of their door frames. And when the three Hebrew boys were cast into a fiery furnace, God was right there with them. So my point is that the God we serve, Jehovah, has an extensive track record of keeping us, protecting us, and preserving us. Therefore, we have nothing to fear. And finally, never forget the wonderful Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be bold in the face of chaos. He empowers us to be strong in the face of sin. Now the Bible in Romans 8:26 says, "The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness." For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. This verse acknowledges the Holy Spirit's role as our helper, especially when we face moments of weakness or uncertainty. Sometimes we might struggle to articulate our prayers or even discern what to pray for. The Holy Spirit comes alongside us in these moments, interceding on our behalf with deep groanings that surpass human language. I want to tell you two things. The first thing will be what the devil loves, and the second will be what the devil hates. The devil loves to make you fearful. The devil loves to introduce fear into the life of a believer. And let me tell you why. Fear is the opposite of faith. The Word of God calls us to live by faith and trust that God is in complete control. That's why we're told to not be anxious about anything. We're told not to worry, not to let our hearts be troubled over and over again. And this is because God wants us to live by faith and trust Him in every moment for every need. But the devil, he wants the complete opposite for you and me. He doesn't want us to live by faith, so he introduces fear. And when you begin to live with the spirit of fear in your life, you begin to go against God's word, and you're filled with anxiety. You're worrying about what you will eat and drink, and of course, your heart is troubled. This is the damage that the spirit of fear brings. Look at what the Bible calls us to do. The Bible calls us to be courageous. Fear is the opposite of that. The Bible calls us to be bold. Fear is the opposite. The Bible calls us to trust God. Fear is the opposite because you doubt that God can be trusted with whatever you're worried about. This is why the devil loves to introduce fear into people's lives. However, let me tell you this. If there is one thing the devil can't stand, it's a man or woman who rejects the spirit of fear. A person who is not intimidated by what they see, but someone who is governed by the word of God. The devil is no match for a believer who dares to believe that nothing is impossible with God. The devil cannot win when he comes up against a believer who dares to believe the word of God. Some of our greatest blessings come to us when we dare to believe. Some of our biggest breakthroughs only happen once we dare to believe. There's no length that God is not willing to go to not only meet but exceed your expectations if you are willing to believe that he can do what he says he can do. The Amplified Translation of Psalm 34:8 says, "O taste and see that the Lord our God is good. How blessed, fortunate, prospered, and favored by God is the man who takes refuge in him." So your medical report may say one thing, but God's word says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." The facts may be that you do not have the training, the education, or the skills for that position, but God's word says in Psalm 90:17, "May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. When circumstances are against you, trust in God's promises for your life. When you're confronted by fear, that is the time you must say, "God, I believe you are bigger than what I see in front of me. You are bigger than the facts in this world. I don't see a way, but I know you can still make a way." Dear friend, be of the mind that says, "I don't need to have all the answers because I know the one who knows all of the answers. I don't need to know what the plan is because I know the planner, the God who orchestrates everything. I don't need to know the why if I know the one. I don't need to know the how because I know him." So hear me today. Dare to believe in God, and he will not let you down. Throughout your lifetime, you're going to come across challenges and moments that will test you. There will come a time when you are tested, and it's in that season whereby you have to decide to hold on to something. You either hold on to Jesus, or you hold on to friends and family members, peers, and colleagues. You either hold on to Jesus, or you hold on to every word the doctor says or the expert opinion of man. I encourage you to choose the Lord. Hold on to Jesus Christ before you listen to the worldly wisdom of those who claim to know it all. It's only when you dare to go against the expectations of the world and stand with Jesus Christ that you can truly experience a life of victory. So in the midst of everything, in the midst of what you're struggling with, God is telling you to believe. Believe in him because in his word he has said that he has plans for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Fear has no effect on the believer who stands and says, "Whatever awaits me in the future, I'm facing it with Jesus. Whatever comes against me, I'll be protected by Jesus, because if God is for me, who can stand against me? I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can get to the Father except through Jesus. I believe he is the bread of life. He is the one who can sustain us. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, and in him you will find peace beyond all human understanding. I believe Jesus Christ is the light of the world and the good shepherd. I believe he was a healer and a miracle worker when he walked here on this earth, and I also believe that he is still able to do the impossible even today. I believe he died on a cross for our sins, for my sins, and I believe that he rose back to life after 3 days and ascended on high, and right now he is seated on the right side of the Father. Listen to me, in the name of Jesus, there is power. Jesus Christ is the name above every other name. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the risen one, the Almighty One. When we speak that name, the mighty name of Jesus Christ, every sickness has to bow, every disease has to leave, every chain has to loose. And so here is my word to you. As believers, we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should never compromise the word of God so that we can fit into this world. We should not be ashamed of the gospel because the devil and the world, oh, they are aggressively spreading a message of deception. The devil and this world are aggressively trying to lead people away from the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it's time that we, as believers of Jesus Christ, it's time for us to stand up and to declare to the world that there is a Savior. There is someone who can set you free if you're bound. There is a Redeemer, and His name is Jesus Christ. Saints, we should not be ashamed of the gospel, but as Christians, we must stand up and fight for the gospel. We must rise up as sons and daughters of the Most High. Isaiah 41:13, "For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you." This is a promise for those seasons in life when you feel as though you can't get a break. It's a promise that God Almighty will help you. The Lord will come to your aid. He will be your support. He will be your pillar of strength. Isaiah 40:29 says, "He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength." This is a promise for us to hold on to in times of weakness. God will give strength to the weary. He will help you to stand when times get tough. He will help you to move forward when it looks like you are about to be overwhelmed. Matthew 6:25 tells us, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Jesus goes on to say in verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Jesus is telling us to let go of the illusion that we are the ones in control, because while we are not in control, God is sovereign. He's always in control. While we don't know the future, God is already in the future. While we can't let go of the past, God is already working out your present and your future. The devil is the father of fear, but God is the master of the future. The devil is the warlock of worry, but Jesus is the prince of peace. The devil is the architect of anxiety, but the Holy Spirit is the bringer of comfort. The Lord tells us in Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." As believers, our lives should not be dictated by fear, but rather by our faith. Our lives should not be crippled by worry, but rather empowered by the Word of God. We must always remember that we are children of the Most High God. We have received the promises of Christ that He will be with us always until the end of time. And so there is no one who can save us because Christ has already saved us. Stress and anxiety won't have the last word because Christ has already had the last word. Fear will not have the final say because Jesus Christ has defeated fear.